We angled toward the quadrant with the kobolds, killing all the grubs and burning all the pupae we passed. Earlier, I had noted a safe room deep in the kobold quadrant, along the backside of the area. We would grind our way toward it and try to get a nap before we had to do this next interview. Hopefully, the hornet monsters, when they hatched, would remain in their area.
Kobold Rider, level 5. Here's an interesting fact. The DNA of a kobold and the DNA of a chihuahua are almost identical. That should tell you almost everything you need to know about these yappy little assholes. Small, angry, think they're bigger than they really are. There is nothing more terrifying than a pack of these little bastards charging at you across the battlefield. At least in their own minds. But don't underestimate them either. They are fearless, they are intelligent, and they bite first, ask questions later. Their mounts, the danger dingoes, should probably worry you.
The last time I'd played Dungeons & Dragons had been aboard the USCGC Stratton. I remembered kobolds as little lizard-like monsters. In the game I'd played, the Dungeon Master had them as minions of a small dragon. Here, they were different. They, indeed, looked like goddamned armored chihuahuas. They were about the same size as the barking little dogs, but they stood upright and wore chainmail armor that seemed to be made out of beer can jabs. Each wore tiny metal caps with a spike on them. Most of them were armed with long, angry-looking spears with feathers hanging off the end. They wielded them like lances.
Dogs riding dogs.
Donut spat as the pair of Danger Dingo-riding kobolds charged at us.
I've had nightmares like this.
She fired a pair of magic missiles, hitting the mounts. The level 5 dingoes stumbled, rolling forward. I formed a fist as the two kobold riders went flying. The first one crunched onto the ground, breaking his neck. The second bounced up, teeth frothing. It charged at me. I punched it, and it splattered against the wall. Things were more solid than they looked. I fell back as one of the dingoes lunged at me. This one had a septic debuff blinking over its head. This monster's snarl and bark was deeper, more terrifying than that of its rider. Their white face paint made them appear even more frightening. Donut leaped onto the back of the dingo, ripping with her rear claws as she hopped high into the air and fired a third magic missile at the still recovering second mount, killing it. The dingo on top of me shuddered, then fell over, dead. Stinking blood and gore washed over me as I pushed it off. Donut landed deftly next to me and started licking her paw.
That was pretty slick.
I brushed myself off. My entire front was soaked in gore.
You're getting a lot better at that.
I think I have a bonus to damage against canine creatures. That reminds me. I saw something weird earlier, and I forgot to tell you about it. It was a new tab that said racial benefits, but it was only there for a second. It blinked and disappeared.
That is weird.
Instinctively, I pulled up my own menu, and I didn't have anything like that. The safe room was just around the corner. After we obliterated the kobold and dingo corpses, we headed toward it. This was another one of the non-manned rooms. The room appeared to have once been some sort of industrial kitchen, but with all the appliances removed except a large walk-in freezer that still was in working order. We inspected the giant refrigerator, but it was empty. A stainless steel counter stood underneath the set of screens, and on the counter was a plain, metallic toaster, surrounded by a pile of crumbs. It didn't seem to be plugged into anything, but I couldn't lift it up either. Up on the screen it read, "Free mana toast, one per crawler." I pressed down on the little handle, and a moment later it popped up. A burned triangle of toast jumped out, landing on the counter.
Mana toast! This is toast. It refills your mana. That's it. Nothing more. Fuck you.
That was unnecessary.
I gave my piece to Donut, who tucked them both away into her inventory. The room also contained a drinking fountain, a couple of chairs and cots, and a set of bathrooms. As had become our custom, we checked both of the bathrooms out. They were empty, but somehow had clearly been here before us. The toilet paper had all been taken, and the shampoo dispenser in the woman's shower had been emptied. The floor was wet, like someone had recently taken a shower. Mukta.
Crawlers Carl and Princess Donut, you are to be transported to your interview in 10 minutes. Prepare yourselves.
Mukta? Donut.
Who are you? Where is Zev?
Mukta.
Your outreach associate has been put in a timeout. She will return to you tomorrow. I am her substitute until then.
I glanced up at the clock. We had 8 hours until the next episode. That wasn't right. Carl, we weren't supposed to go for another couple hours. Mukta.
Administrator Zev had you scheduled on a program called Dungeon Crawl Tactics. I have overridden her decision and picked a better program for you. This one is paying a higher fee. Do not worry. It is similar to the other one. It is still round table style. Close enough, at least. They still offer gifts to the participants.
Carl, we were promised the right to refuse interviews. I don't want to go on this one. Mukta.
You seem to be under the impression that you have a say in this, Crawler.
Donut.
What did Zev do? Why is she in a timeout?
The message clicked away, and the chat disappeared from our log. There was no way to respond or initiate a new message.
Carl, I'm not ready.
A brush appeared in front of her.
Brush me, quick.
The front of my jacket was still covered in dingo gore. I moved to the bathroom to clean myself off the best I could.
I'll get you in a minute. I don't like this, I said a few minutes later as I brushed a knot out of Donut's fur. This was my first time doing this since we'd come to the dungeon. I had a quick memory of Bee teaching me how to properly brush the cat. The first time I'd ever done it, Donut had yowled and tried to disembowel me. Bee and I had fallen over ourselves laughing at the indignant look on the cat's face. It had taken months before she'd sit still and let me do it. We only had a couple of minutes, and I spent it looking at the handful of achievements I'd received from our Rage Elemental Gambit. Donut actually had several more than I did, all of them bomb-themed ones I'd already received. She didn't waste time opening the associated boxes just yet, instead opting to use her precious few minutes cleaning herself. Most of my own bomb-themed skills moved up to level 9. I now had a handful of mechanic and construction-themed skills as well. I received 2 achievements of note.
New achievement! Grease Monkey! Don't get ahead of yourself, Dale. You built and deployed a wheeled device. When the primitive humans of Mesopotamia made the first wheel, they probably thought they were hot shit too. It still took them another 5,000 years after that to invent the toilet. Reward? You've received a silver mechanics box. New achievement! You call that a trap? A mob has been injured because of something you purposefully left lying around the dungeon. From scattered Legos to spiked pits to buckets of flesh-devouring skinner ants to dimensional rifts that instantly boil all the blood in one's body, the art of trap-making has a celebrated and storied history in the annals of Dungeon Crawler World. So, if you're going to do it, you better do it right. Whatever it was that gave you this achievement, it was probably something stupid. This will help you make the next trap more exciting. Remember, if you don't make it titillating, we will. Reward? You've received a gold sapper's box.
I was a bit confused about what, specifically, gave me the trap achievement. I knew Donut had received this one too. I guessed it was from either dropping the chain or the oil slick. Probably not the bombs, which were placed in another category. The mechanics box gave me a tool called a Gorgon Marital Aid. It was shaped like a spatula.
What the hell is this?
Gorgon Marital Aid! A favorite amongst intergalactic porn stars, this is a hardening and de-hardening tool. May only be used at a workbench. Assists in fusing joints or creating varying degrees of plasticity in otherwise rigid materials without affecting material strength.
That seemed like a pretty useful tool. I put it in my inventory next to my Guinator 3000. The sapper's box contained 2 items,
a sapper's table that practically knocked me over when it appeared. It was a table just like my engineering and alchemy table. The description noted that explosive items or traps created at the table didn't lose stability or couldn't be prematurely set off. The second item in the box was a trap-building item. There were 10 of them, and each one was nothing more than a tiny black box the size of a dime with a long length of wire attached.
Proximity trigger! Trigger warning, traumatizing content. Using a sapper's table, the highly valuable proximity trigger may be attached to any non-static trap. Allows for the establishment of activation conditions, including countdowns, mob-type triggers, etc.
Sure enough, the moment I put the item in my inventory, it placed itself near the top of the list in terms of value, right behind that ridiculous fireball or custard lottery ticket. And I now had 10 of them. After all of that, my level was still stuck at 11. It was near the edge of 12, but it had barely budged since the fight with Krakaren. The plan was, for now, to kill off the kobolds and then move out of the area. I was hoping to be at least level 13 by the time we hit the Mukta.
Transferring now.
Donut, who had been sitting on a chair, reappeared 2 feet in the air and fell. Her metallic crupper clinked onto the boat's deck. The ground roiled. As always, my HUD snapped off. We were on another boat, one much smaller than the last one. There were no windows and no doors. There were no features at all, other than a pair of chairs that sat cramped together at one end of the room. The place was about the size of a large walk-in closet. I could reach up and touch the ceiling, which seemed to be made of plastic. The room smelled of salt water and was about 20 degrees cooler than the dungeon. A floating frisbee thing descended from the low ceiling. The jet black metallic disc hummed. A single blue light flashed on the edge.
My name is Mex 55. You are in a rental trailer owned and operated by Senegal Production Systems Unlimited. This trailer is used by multiple tunnel productions related to the crawl. For this session, use of these facilities has been leased by the program Death Watch Extreme Dungeon Mayhem. Sit in the provided chairs and keep your limbs to your side while the table generates. The hollow will commence in 60 seconds.
No green room? No snacks?
Please sit down.
What's the host's name?
The Maestro.
Death Watch Extreme Dungeon Mayhem?
I moved to the chair. The moment we sat, Donut's seat raised up. A table formed out of the wall, grinding in place in front of us. It was only about 2 feet wide.
That's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Yeah. Wait until you see the show.